Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
I feel like Will Forte is not used enough.
Oh, no. No, I think he's quite funny.
He is quite funny.
I think he's quite funny. You know, his voice, though, I think might trip him up a little bit.
I think so, too, because he does kind of have a little... It's not exactly nasally, but it's that higher pitch.
Yeah. I mean, he gives hope to those of us who sound terrible on the radio or whatever. Yeah, because anytime I listen to one of these and I, like, listen to myself... I'm like, oh my gosh, man! Why?
You think you have a terrible voice?
Bring the Barry White, like, get the voice, like, hey, soul, what's up,
baby?
How you guys doing?
Hey, PK in the house. I don't know.
Right,
it's not my soul
good.
Voice, but it's deeper than my normal voice, which is actually pretty deep already.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 3, Episode 3. This is about animal shelters.
Yeah.
My name is Philip Kerrigan. I'm the program manager of the Washington State Combined Fund Drive. With me, as always, is my co-host...
Heather Lucas, the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
Oh, yes, you are.
Yeah.
And so this is something that everybody loves. Everybody loves the kids and the animals. Those are the big ones, right?
That's true. Yeah.
One of our biggest categories that's given to on an annual basis is animals in the environment.
Yeah.
It's a pretty broad category because you do have folks who are giving to the environment.
Yeah.
As well.
There are animals in the environment they care about, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Take care of those bears.
Yeah, that's right. Take care of those grizzly bears. So I know that people love this particular conversation about animal shelters and saving these adorable kittens. So that was the big one here.
Yes.
We were joined by Shelley Lawson, who is the Development and Communications Director with Seattle Area Feline Rescue. So they only deal in cats.
Yeah.
Deal
in cats. I like that. Cats as currency.
Yeah. They deal in cats as currency.
I have three meows for you.
We went off the gold standard.
Yeah.
And then we got onto cats.
Yeah.
It's the cat standard.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were, you know, once demigods in Egypt, so...
Absolutely, so like, why not, right?
Yeah, let's go with it.
One thing that was pretty striking about the interview is the fact that it's a legit issue in Seattle. They bring in more than 1,000 cats, 1,500 cats. They're hoping to get to 2,000 next year.
Yeah, cats that get out into...
Adopted. You know, feral, and then they take them into shelters or abandon, and then they basically nurse them back to health and get them adopted.
Yeah.
So it's actually a pretty big deal
in
the Seattle area. So it was really interesting to talk to her about the things that they do, the needs that they cater to. Kind of cool. They seem like an all-inclusive organization. But before we get into the interview with Shelley, you have, as always, a question of the podcast.
So when I wrote this question, I wrote it thinking you're going to read it without me explaining what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
And then be like, what does this have to do with anything?
I know. That's what
I
saw.
Yeah. So
I was immediately questioning your question.
So I had like this whole kind of thought process that was just like, okay, so cats and kittens, you know, I lost it. I don't remember why I wrote the question, honestly.
You don't remember why you wrote this question?
Not really. don't know. I'm sure, like, cats and kittens.
You connected cats and kittens to something with a fort?
Yes. I think it was something to do with, like, building
something.
Why don't
you ask me the question? All right. We'll see if it comes back to you.
It probably won't. But
okay.
Have you ever, Philip Kerrigan, built a fort, and how cool was it?
Well, of course I have built a fort, and of course it was amazing.
Yeah?
Obviously. I built multiple forts in my time.
Good. You should have.
I'm by no means, at 8 years old, I was by no means a structural engineer.
Sure.
But it mostly involved, like, cardboard boxes and those sort of things. I guess the two coolest forts I ever did, one was not a fort, one was just probably the coolest project I've ever engaged on, which my mother really, really hated me for after it was all done. Well, you lived in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so your snow banks would get like 3 feet high. Yeah. And then if the snow plows came to plow off your streets, they would get like 5 to 6 feet high, right?
Sure, yeah.
So my brother and I are in the middle, or like in the front yard.
Yeah.
Or in the driveway. And we were looking at this snow bank in our front yard that goes like 3 to 4 feet high. And I think I was like 11 at the time, and he was like 5 or 6. And we were like, look, there's the tree. I bet you we can dig a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
In the snow from the tree to the front door of the house, which was like a 10-15 foot tunnel.
Yeah.
So we're talking, you know, when you're 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, it's like the viaduct. This
no,
is like
yeah.
Big Bertha.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So a major undertaking.
Yeah, it's going to take years to finish.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
Or never finish.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, DOT. You pay attention to shit. It's fine. You're great. You guys are great. You do great work. So you dive in. We start to make our way over to the door. We accomplished this mission. We went 10 feet under the snow.
Yeah.
It was, and like we dug, made a tunnel, a 10 foot long tunnel.
Yeah.
To the front door. Knock on the door, thinking, I mean, how awesome is this? Mom's gonna be so impressed with our ability. She yelled and screamed at me, grounded me.
Yeah.
Because she was like, "Do you know what could have happened if that snowbank collapsed? You could have killed your brother." And then I was like, "I'm fine, Mom. Thanks, I appreciate
that."
Yeah.
But he's fine too.
So that was my first. That was my first major undertaking.
Yeah.
My first major engineering undertaking. And then I believe when I moved out here. And we still lived on Fort Lewis. I believe I built a, no, it was in Steilacoom. That's where it was. We had this friend who had, his dad had started the literal foundation of like a treehouse.
Wow.
On the side of the house.
Okay.
And one summer we were just like, hey man, we should build that all the way up and like make it into a fort.
Yeah.
And everybody thought like, this is super weird. What are these kids doing? It's going to be all like structurally bad. I actually think we handled ourselves quite well. We even put a roof on the place.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, it was not bad. It was not bad. Yeah. So those were my two fort building excursions. Yeah. I thought I did pretty good.
Yeah, see, like, I didn't have anything where it was, like, structural, like, cardboard or, like, you know, it was found materials for the most part. So, trash.
Yeah.
And then...
That's typically what the houses are built out of.
Exactly. And then all of the stuff that breaks off during storms. So, those massive, massive boughs that break off. I remember, like, getting all the pine cones that I could find because me and my friends had to protect the fort from outsiders.
Yeah.
Namely my brothers.
That's right.
So
invaders.
Yeah, invaders. Mm-hmm. Get out, you're not invited.
That's right.
This is our fort.
You're not in this realm. Yeah.
I remember trying to go up, and we did up a little bit, but it becomes
pretty unstable as the further you get up.
Yeah. Structural engineering is not something that you're familiar with as a child, really.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, that's a good fort.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good fort.
But I still don't remember how I got from cats and kitties to building forts.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
We went through that whole process.
It was a genius moment for me.
Maybe because the cats roll around in their little toy places and the thing, or maybe it reminds you of home or like when you were a kid.
Still not ringing any bells. It was a genius thing. I thought I was being clever, and here we are.
Well, that's a fantastic question. Totally, totally attaches itself to animals and shelters. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, you know, if you look at our categories, animals and the environment.
Heather, everybody gets one.
So that's it for the year. Thank you.
That's it for the year. Make sure the rest of these connect. We're a professional organization. So anyway, we are not going to take up any more of your time talking about sweet forts, although I got to tell you, they're pretty good forts.
They are
good forts. We're going to toss it to the interview with Shelley Lawson, the Development and Communications Director with the Seattle Area Feline Rescue. The
So we're here with the Development and Communications Director of the Seattle Area Feline Rescue, Shelley Lawson. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
It is always fun to talk about cats, and we're really happy to have the opportunity to share a little bit about animal sheltering and the work that we do with the kitties.
Awesome, awesome. So to start off with, can you give us a little bit of a history of your organization and what it is that you do for the community?
Absolutely. So what we do is we take in homeless cats and kittens that don't have anywhere else to go. We give them all the care they need. In some cases, that might be medical care or even surgery or medication. In some cases, they might be shy and need some behavioral help. Or in some cases, they might be perfectly friendly kitties and all they need is a family right away. So we take them in and we unite them with loving families who are looking for furry friends.
Awesome. Awesome. And you're Seattle-based, correct?
Yes. We have a shelter in shelter and adoption center in Shoreline, Washington, but it's really close to Seattle, so we serve the whole Seattle area. And we also have an extensive foster network, families that will take in animals and give them care until they're ready to find their homes.
Excellent. Nice. Excellent.
So about how many cats in a year do you guys take in, and what are the predominant reasons for cats coming to your shelter?
So that is a great question. We are still relatively a small organization, but we like to think that we're small but mighty.
Yeah.
We're actually one of the busiest cat-only adoption centers in the country.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Thanks to some really incredible community support. Last year, in 2018, we were able to find homes for 1,740 cats and kittens.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And we are hoping that soon we'll be able to say 2,000.
Yeah.
We have ambitions.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
As for where the animals come from, that's a great question. A lot of the kitties we get come from other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
We find that cats and kittens who are in shelters that may be overcrowded or don't have the resources to rehome them, or even are just in areas where there are not enough adopters, are the ones that are most urgently at risk.
Yeah.
We take in a lot of cats from Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
We're lucky in the Puget Sound region that we have some really great spay and neuter programs.
Mm-hmm.
So our overpopulation is a little bit more under control than in some other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And in Eastern Washington, with the rural areas, there's a lot of animals, both cats and dogs, that are homeless.
Right.
So almost every week we take in from Eastern Washington.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes even farther afield, the ASPCA will send us kitties from Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
There's a big population boom in kitties right now in Los Angeles, and it puts a lot of animals at risk. So they will fly them up to us if we have adopters and if we have space.
Wow.
From Hawaii, sometimes.
Wow.
Wow.
On some of the islands, there's more homeless kitties than there are people.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's just not a place for those kitties to find a home.
Yeah.
And some kitties are very local. We partner with a lot of local organizations. We've had a call from a motel a mile away that said they had a cat abandoned in their garage and found the cat a home. So it really varies. A lot.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when it comes from like those Los Angeles or Hawaii locations, is that something that helps get those animals out? Like, hey, look, this cat's like special. It's, you know, a Hollywood cat or something.
Like, it could be a draw sometimes.
Okay.
We've had a doctor say, oh, I'm from LA. I'm on an LA cat.
Nice. Nice.
It's just as Jake Gyllenhaal's cat.
Right now we have the biggest, white, fluffiest cat named Albert.
Yeah.
Who came from LA, and his bio is that he wasn't an LA type. He didn't want all that
fanciness.
He's just a down-to-earth, goofy guy.
He doesn't need the lights and the action. Yeah. He's cool.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what kind of stigmas have you had to work around or work with to get some of the animals adopted? I mean, sometimes the idea that a person's going to go to a shelter and adopt, they'd rather maybe get it from a different litter. So what kind of stigmas do you usually find?
I think there's actually a lot of misconceptions out there about sheltering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you asked that. One of them is that it's just going to be sad if you go to any kind of shelter.
Right.
I'm going to feel terrible. I'm going to want to take them all home to make them safe.
Yeah.
It's going to be smelly and loud and depressing, or concrete, chain link, whatever you might have in your mind.
Right.
And I think that you'll find that sheltering has changed a lot in recent years. There are lots of bright, clean, happy, welcoming facilities where the animals are really well cared for.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And we like to count ourselves as one of those.
Yeah.
We pride ourselves in keeping the kitties really comfortable and making a welcome experience for visitors. But we're not the only ones by far. So I would encourage everyone who might be a little hesitant to check out your neighborhood humane society, your neighborhood shelter, and give them a chance. You might be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
I think another one that we face a lot is that all rescue animals are damaged.
Oh.
And certainly we see sad stories where kitties have been through a lot. They may have been injured or traumatized or neglected. Mm-hmm. And we do work with a lot of kitties who are shy.
Yeah.
But honestly, we work with even more kitties who are run up to you and purr and make biscuits meow at you and will love your kids and just seamlessly integrate into your family.
Yeah.
And that's the case with all kinds of animals, including dogs as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's so many good animals that became homeless through no fault of their own, maybe because their family lost housing or had to move or an allergy in the household.
Mm-hmm.
They're just wonderful, incredible animals who are ready to make you happy if you give them a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's funny. I've never heard the term make biscuits before, but like they call it happy feet in my house. Yeah. Happy feet. Yeah. Make biscuits. That makes sense.
We have a little kitten named Chunk right now who will do that in kneading with her paws and making biscuits. But she does it one paw at a time, so she kind of hops back and forth on her paws. It's pretty cute.
That's
we call
awesome.
Her biscuit dance.
Nice.
I think another misconception that's out there is that shelter animals are really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We do charge an adoption fee.
Yeah.
Although I will say the adoption fee doesn't begin to cover the care and the service we provide.
Right.
There is a fee, but in that fee we include spay and neuter, mm-hmm. microchip, a first round of vaccines, a free vet visit.
Yeah. So that's pretty big.
Yeah, if you got a free animal somewhere and then tried to provide all of that to your veterinarian.
Yeah, it would cost you quite a bit of money.
It adds up really fast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Do the cats in your shelter receive any treatment like vaccinations or rehabilitation prior to adoption? Or is that just, I mean, is that something that you sort of default do? Like when they come in, you make sure that they're vaccinated, you get them rehabilitated.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something you do with every cat that comes through.
Yeah, that's a great question. It can vary a little bit from organization to organization, but I think what we do is the case for most local organizations.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure all the animals are spayed and neutered prior to adoption. They all get a microchip so that worst case scenario, your kitty gets lost, you have a way to be reunited.
Mm-hmm.
They all get flea treatment and they all get a first round of vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already, they've already got
they're ready to go. They're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And we do have a behavior program for the kitties who are a little bit more shy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So clicker train, our volunteers will clicker train them and
yeah.
teach them to be a little bit more trusting and confident.
Yeah.
And some of our shyer kitties will send to foster care as well, so they get used to being in a home. But yeah, most kitties are already pretty friendly, and we have adoption counselors who can help you find a good fit. So we wouldn't, if you are a cat person and you want a challenge, we could match you with a kitty who needs a little extra care. But if you just want a laid back family cat, we can find you that too.
Yeah. How do folks find you typically? Do they go online or do they actually just come in?
That's a great question. We find a lot of people find us online. They start their search either just by Googling or by looking at sites like Pet Finder or Adopt-A-Pet that'll have lists. And they'll kind of surf until they find a pair of whiskers that,
that they
catches
like.
Their eye.
That they like, yeah. Yeah.
They'll come on over.
Awesome. Awesome.
So I saw one time this kind of pyramid graph. If you start with one cat who's not spayed or neutered, how many cats can be born from that kind of one single cat? And it was something insane, like 40 million cats could be born to one cat.
Wow.
I mean, do you guys, when you're going through that, like, do you find that spaying and neutering is like a big thing that you have to do, or is it more like you're talking vaccinations and like behavioral treatments more often than the spaying and neutering?
Well, that's a really good point. I think kitties have more litters and start having litters younger than we usually think, and that can add up really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Populations can get out of control.
Yeah.
So it's really important to us that every animal we place in a home has already been spayed and neutered.
Yeah.
And we work with the Feral Cat Spay Neuter Clinic up in Linwood.
Nice.
There's some other great clinics too for privately owned animals.
Mm-hmm.
So if we encounter someone who would like to get their kitty fixed, there's some great low cost resources to help make that happen and
Excellent.
Make sure that we don't end up with lots and lots of litters that just don't have a place to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. What are the biggest needs for your animal shelter and animal shelters like yours?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Adopters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking of a kitty, please consider adoption.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes this all work, that we can find loving homes for these wonderful animals.
Yeah.
We always need volunteers. That can be working hands-on with the kitties, whether that's doing their daily care or doing something specialized like our behavior training program.
Yeah.
But we need volunteers for so many more things, too. To drive kitties, pick them up at the airport, drive them to spay-neuter clinics, do office work, clean carriers, any specialized skills that people have, if you love to do marketing or yeah. if you're a talented performer, like whatever yeah. Yeah. whatever your niche is, we can usually yeah. put it to use for the kiddies. Fostering mm-hmm. is a really important one.
Okay.
Every time you foster an animal and take it into your house, you're opening up a space to save another one.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take as much space as you would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to have a giant mansion.
Yeah.
Really, it just takes a spare room, like a bathroom or a guest room.
Yeah.
We provide the litter, we provide the food, the checkups, and it's a lot of times it's kittens who are just too young to be spayed and neutered and adopted
right.
yet, so
right.
maybe they need a little growing time, which
yeah.
means you get to play with fuzzy kittens.
Yeah. Nice, nice.
Right, right. How long do the foster families get to have them for?
That can vary a lot. It depends on how long the kitties need, because
mm-hmm.
We're very focused on once a kitty is ready, finding them a home,
mm-hmm.
making sure they don't stay too long in
yeah.
care. But sometimes we get in tiny, tiny babies, and it can be almost 2 months before they're big enough.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be a shy or adult cat who really needs some time to relax, and that could even be a couple months. And sometimes it's very, very quick. I took in a kitty over Christmas, and she was out in a week and
yeah.
had a happy family.
Yeah.
Nice.
I imagine it's probably hard for some of the foster folks to let
say
go
goodbye
of
yeah.
the cat after they get them, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I call it bittersweet. And
yeah.
it's
yeah.
definitely a lesson in letting go and trusting. But
yeah.
I always love when I hear back from the families who adopt my kitties, and I get to
yeah.
see pictures of them. And
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you're like the godmother that way,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
It's
That's
nice
awesome.
To see them go off into the world and have wonderful lives.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a lot of times I get to kind of see that and get updates.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
yeah.
Well, how many foster families do you guys work with?
That is a great question. We often have 100 to even in busy season, more like 130 kitties in foster
wow.
care.
Okay.
Yeah. So we right now it's a little bit less than our foster families because it's not kitten season. But
yeah.
we would love to find more fosters as we ramp up always. And
yeah.
especially as we're kind of ramping up for kitten season to
right.
start pretty soon.
Right.
Kitten
right.
season
yeah.
is like springtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We see a lot more kitties from spring to late fall, early winter.
Okay.
But it's always kitten season somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Sometimes from L.A. they'll be sending us or Eastern Washington some kitties kind of surprisingly late in the year. We have
yeah.
some small fluff balls right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. So, oh, go ahead, go ahead. Are you
oh,
gonna ask? Yeah,
I will
on.
Ask, sure.
All right, do
yeah.
it.
So, let's say someone hears the podcast and they want to start giving to Seattle Area Feline Rescue. Can you talk a little bit about what donations do for your organization?
Absolutely. So, as I mentioned before, the adoption fee covers only a very small portion of
mm-hmm.
what it costs to do the medical care and the sheltering and the rehoming of all the animals.
Mm-hmm.
So donors make our world go round. They really do make every aspect of the program possible. And people who contribute and support to the cause, we absolutely love that. And that's the reason that we can save hundreds and hundreds of kitties.
Yeah.
Even a small amount can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
$10 can feed 4 kitties for a week.
Nice.
And that's huge. We use donations to do spay-neuter surgeries, to provide that good old kibble and litter
yeah.
and
yeah.
all that, to do vet checkups, just to really make every aspect of the program work and to make sure that when we get the next call that there's a cat out there that needs help,
yeah.
that we'll have the resources to respond and take the kitty in and give them a new future. So
yes.
we really love our cat people and our donors.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We really like it when the charities break down like what a dollar does for their services, because I think sometimes people, you know, they like the idea of like tangible results. So I think it's pretty cool to be able to have that at your disposal.
Yeah, and sometimes people are like, you know, I can't give that much. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, just that little amount. Like, no.
Well, yeah.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, the average monthly pledge is $10 a month through the CFD.
Yeah.
So those sort of things can help people.
Absolutely.
People.
Yeah.
And for anyone who's able to do a little more, $15 will neuter a cat.
All right.
So if you want to say, I neutered a cat today.
Yeah. yeah.
No big
yeah.
deal. Just a Thursday.
yeah,
standard
yeah.
business.
Thursday.
Yeah.
It's a Thursday.
That makes a huge difference
yeah.
to
yeah.
prevent that overpopulation
yeah.
and make
yeah.
sure that every animal can have a
awesome.
Great home. So,
so
yeah.
do you have any upcoming events or programs you wanna highlight?
We sure do. We're really excited, actually, for on February 12th. We have an event called For the Love of Cats.
All right.
It has a Valentine's theme, so it's
yeah.
Valentine's week. It's at Lagunitas Tap Room. In
oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
And all the proceeds of the beer sales will go to help the kitties.
Awesome.
So it's a wonderful excuse to drink some beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll also have a cookie dough dessert truck. A portion of those proceeds will go to help the kitties as well.
Cookie dough dessert truck.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
We're going to do some trivia. It's going to be a lot of
awesome.
Fun.
Right awesome. Awesome.
So, yeah, a great excuse to come out and drink beer and eat cookie dough and help save lives.
Yeah.
Super cool. Super cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the program, Shelley. We really appreciate you coming out and talking a little bit about your charity and what it does for the community.
Well, thank you so much for having us. And we're really grateful for all that you do and really grateful for everyone who chooses to give to their workplace. Yeah. It's one of our huge pillars of support.
Awesome.
It makes an incredible difference. So thank you.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. All right, so that was Shelley Lawson, the Development and Communications Director of Seattle Area Feline Rescue. Thought it was a really nice interview. Nice of her to come all the way down from Seattle to come talk to us about her organization.
Yeah. I love that, the making dough. That is so perfect. It's such an accurate description of what cats do.
Well, and I mean, she was telling us about all their amazing events, the Meowskerade Ball.
Oh, my God.
Catterday Night Fever. Oh, my gosh. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Those are fantastic.
You just want to go because of the names.
The name is fantastic.
Like,
right?
I don't care where it is.
I just am envisioning this poster where they've, like, put, like,
a cat head on John Travolta's disco body.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you can tell that she's super passionate about it, which you really love
That's
to see
always great.
When you talk to charities that that are doing this work, that you never find a lack of passion.
True.
That is for sure.
Yep.
So you looks like you have some facts and figures in front
I
of you.
I do. I also have trivia for you.
Oh!
I know you'd be excited about that.
Let's do it.
Okay, so facts and figures first. So according to the ASPCA, there is no government institution or an animal organization that's responsible for collecting any national data about animals in shelters, cats, dogs, any kind of thing like that. So everything is always an approximate number.
That surprises me.
Okay.
Like the EPA didn't have anything.
Yeah, it surprised me too.
Okay.
So they say approximately a lot when they're talking about numbers. And you might hear that when you hear like an animal charity or like one of those commercials or anything. Approximately, blah, blah, blah. So approximately 6.5 million companion animals enter U.S. animal shelters every year. 3.3 million are dogs, 3.2 are cats.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that stat before.
Yeah, and the number has declined since 2011. I don't know what the number is this year by any means or last year, but it was up to 7.2.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, like a good 500,000 less.
I had heard that, especially like, you know, when the financial crisis hit and foreclosures were happening, the abandonment of animals was
pretty
high.
It shot up, yeah. I had two cats come in from that, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, one of my neighbors down the street, their house got foreclosed on.
Uh-huh.
They took their dogs and they couldn't get their cats to come back inside. Yeah. So they were just like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
So they were adopted by my family instead.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So each year, approximately 1.5 million shelter animals are euthanized, and that is also a number that's down. Seattle Area Feline Rescue, we didn't talk about it, but they are a no-kill shelter.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's probably why they take in so many animals,
right.
And then other places reach out to them to get them sheltered out.
Right.
Approximately 44% of all households in the U.S. have a dog.
Oh.
35% have a cat.
Okay.
So, big deal.
Wow, that is a big deal.
And then the ways that cats and dogs are obtained as pets, I found this interesting. For dogs, 34% of dogs come from a breeder.
Like a professional...
Yeah, like we bred this dog and it is a Labradoodle or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then only 3% of cats. Cats are just like,
whatever. We don't breed cats.
Whereas, like, the stray numbers is the opposite. So 6% of dogs are coming into people's homes as stray dogs, and then 27% as cats.
Yeah, yeah.
I also found from DoSomething.org a stat, homeless animals outnumber homeless people 5-1. So spay and neuter services are really
Super important.
Yeah. And that shelters receive, when they receive animals, about 10% of them are spayed or neutered. So 90% of the animals they receive, they have to provide the service for.
Yeah.
That's a lot
of money. And I think that seems to be consistent across the board with almost every single one of the animal charities we interact with, is the idea that a lot of that money that is given by the donors is given for spaying and neutering, which is an essential service.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, this sort of problem becomes unsustainable.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So trivia time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
Philip Kerrigan.
Yes.
Washington State.
Yes.
We don't have a state animal, but we have two other types. Okay. So we have a state bird and a state mammal.
Okay.
What's our state bird?
I'm going to say I should know this because Jerrica Ferguson will freak out if I don't get these correct.
Yeah. She is a hound for the state.
I know. I'm going to say the American goldfinch.
Close.
What is it?
Willow goldfinch.
Oh, God.
I know. So you got the goldfinch part right. And I think that matters.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. And then the marmot. Is the indigenous mammal?
It's an indigenous mammal, but the state mammal?
Yeah.
What's Thomas's favorite animal?
Cheetah.
Is it a cheetah now? Yeah. Last I heard, it was an orca.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's his favorite animal in the ocean.
Oh, in the ocean. Yeah, he's got different ones.
Oh, yeah, so the orca is
the state mammal.
All right, so let's not kill it off, people.
Yeah, let's do something about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Of any kind of, like, you're talking domestic or farm animal.
By the way, did you like that I thought the cheetah was Washington State's animal?
I didn't register. I was like, yeah, whatever, you're wrong. Moving on.
Yeah, I mean,
you know. This isn't like sub-Saharan Africa.
Right.
It didn't occur to me.
Become, like,
yeah.
Anyway,
if you'd said like cougar, mountain lion, something, okay. Puma, even.
I love how you just glanced over that glaring fact. Yeah. That was bad. That was a disastrous
la,
answer.
La, la.
Please continue.
Okay, so humans.
Yeah.
Are one species that have prostates. Okay.
Yes.
Fact. Name another domestic type animal that has a prostate.
Domestic type animal? Well, it's got to be a dog or a cat.
Dog.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently, a dog is the only.
Yeah, that's what this says. The internet told me that.
So it must be true.
It's true. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's see here. There are two animals that are water animals.
Okay.
Ocean animals.
Ocean animals.
That are immune to all known diseases, including cancer.
You got to be kidding me.
Right?
That's crazy.
Right?
Okay.
So I would like you to name one of those two animals.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay, this is going to seem...
It's a predator.
Oh, okay, never mind. Because I was going to go like sea turtle, because they seem to live for like a million years.
Yeah. They do.
Okay, it's a predator.
Yeah.
It's an ocean animal.
Yeah. And you can be general with your answer. You don't have to be like willow goldfinch.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, and it's immune to all diseases?
Mm-hmm. The internet said so.
Wow. I'm going to say whale.
No, but it's big like that.
Yeah?
Shark.
Just the shark?
Yeah, it just says sharks. The other animal, stingrays.
Stingrays. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Immune to all diseases.
That's what the internet told me.
Dang it. Wow, that's pretty cool. All right.
Another animal fact.
Yeah.
Okay. How long can a cockroach live without its head?
I'm going to say 10 days.
You're pretty close.
What was the answer there?
A week.
And go a week without a head.
A week without a head.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That makes them Satan's creature, by the way.
Yeah.
Cockroaches, I mean, God, they're so gross.
Yeah.
They're like one of the grossest animals on the planet.
And they can rock it without a head. Could you imagine, like, la, 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 walking down the street.
Like,
and, oh, that's a cockroach
that's
with
cockroach
no head.
No head. Yeah. It's got 5 days max.
Yeah. Zombie apocalypse, right?
That's gross, man. I mean, if you can still survive without a head, that's weird.
Yeah.
You're a weird animal.
You are a weird animal.
Yeah.
All right. Name a farm animal. Mm-hmm. That also, like humans, dreams. Has dreams.
Whoa. Wow, you just blew my mind. I'm going to say the animal is going to make me sad because I eat it so much. And then it'd make me real sad. It's like a pig?
No.
Okay, good. So pigs don't dream?
According to the internet.
So good to still have bacon?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, would you have not?
Let's be real. Second thought.
You heard about all those terrible stats about how bad bacon is for you and still eat it. So I'm sure dreaming pigs wouldn't be the one that does it for you.
Like a cow?
Close. Well, it's not that size. I mean, it's closer size to a pig.
Oh, I don't know. Like a goat?
Smaller.
What's up?
Chicken.
Chicken's dream. How do they know that fact? How does the internet know that fact?
I don't know. I don't know if somebody was like, you
do
know
they,
what?
Like,
we
put
need
some
to exactly.
Their brain
we
and
need
see
to pull some chickens
was.
In and just like test them out, check their brain activity while they sleep.
You need to send links to this evidence.
Yeah.
To like put them on the podcast site.
It's not evidence so much as just phrases.
There's got to be something there.
And I saw it on more than one website. So I'm like, okay, Chicken's either you guys all copied and pasted this from each other, Chicken's or dream. You're making crap up.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Or it's real. Okay. And then this is my favorite.
Definitely
Beyond
question chicken, though.
Go ahead. Beyond the cockroach with no head thing, this is my favorite one.
Okay.
Okay. So you know what a wombat is? A wombat is a marsupial, and it's smaller. It's like it looks kind of like a mix between a bear and an otter, but it's like, you know, smaller than, it's like a small dog size.
And it resides here in Washington?
No, Australia.
Okay.
Okay. So it's small dog size.
Not like the cheetah.
Not like the cheetah. Cheetah's native to Washington.
Cheetah's native.
Western Washington specifically, Cascades.
Native to the Skagit County region.
So wombats, little bear-type otter things, marsupials, they can run 25 miles per hour when threatened.
Mm-hmm.
They're tiny little things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so of all the things I'm going to ask you, you're not going to get, okay?
Okay.
What shape does a wombat's poop come in?
What shape? How could it possibly have a shape?
Yeah, right? Great question.
Well, it's got to be something weird and funky, so I'm going to say like a square.
I mean, like it's a cube.
It's a cube?
Wombats poop cubes. They poop cubes. They don't poop little logs like everything else. So apparently they have this elasticity in the walls of their intestines and the last part of it that just like forms little cubes. So they don't poop out little pellets. They poop out cubes. And then they take the cubes and they stack them.
Because
they're weird, Australia.
Oh, my gosh.
And they use the poop cubes and the stacking techniques to communicate to other marsupials, other wombats, and to attract mates.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, girl. Look at my poop cubes. Come on by. Come on
there
by
you
my
have
place.
It. There you have it, folks. A little some factoids for you during the animal shelter during the animal shelter episode.
Yeah, not all cat facts by any means.
No. Really, virtually no cat facts.
I do have one cat fact.
What's that?
It's a trivia, but now I've told you that it's a cat thing. Mm-hmm. You're gonna know. So cats are the only domestic animal not mentioned in the Bible. They name other animals like donkeys, goats, dogs, pigs, cows.
Yeah, that is interesting.
But no cats.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's what the internet told me, so
I
believe it.
Well, I mean, I believe everything that comes off the internet.
Yeah, me too.
So that was this week's episode. stirring trivia on poop and those sort of things. So thank you very much for Shelly.
You are welcome.
To Shelly for coming by. We hope we didn't sully your episode too much. But in terms of upcoming events, we don't have much. We want to let folks know that we officially wrapped up the 2019 campaign. We officially went over $5.4 million and over 17,000 donors.
Yeah.
So it was a great year. Couldn't have done it without the folks listening to this podcast, without our volunteers, without donors, and without the leadership throughout the state of all the different agencies and higher education institutions. So thank you so much to everybody who helped make it another amazing campaign. That's consecutive $5.4 million years for the first time since 2009 and 2010.
Yeah.
So really great. And I venture to say we will continue to grow.
I think so.
That's the hope of the CFD. Next year, let's get over 5.5, people.
Hey.
And so what we're doing now over the next couple months is we are recognizing our volunteers for all the work that they did on the campaign and all of the efforts that you did to make this yet another phenomenal year for the Combined Fund Drive. So we'll have recognition events in Spokane, recognition events in King County, Thurston County, Whatcom County, and for those of you who get nominated or win an award in counties that may not have a recognition event, don't worry. We will contact you personally, come out to your office, and recognize you in front of your colleagues.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to just surprise you, because that's the most fun.
That is.
But look out for those recognition events and the RSVP links for each one of those in the upcoming weeks. But other than that, right now, the Combined Fund Drive is getting prepared for the 2019 campaign. As I said before, once we have we're really excited about the theme, so once we have some clear vision about, you know, what everything looks like, you'll be the first to know here on the podcast.
Fact.
So thanks again to Shelly for coming on and talking about Seattle Area Feline Rescue. And for those of you who are interested in giving to this particular one, you can give through the website. And then if you're interested in more animal shelter related charities, go onto the site, hit the search engine, and you'll be able to find some stuff. So yeah. That's it for us this week. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.